The second reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus has just been talking to his disciples about the cost of following him, the sacrificial nature of discipleship. He says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." And then he offers them something particular they can do. Let's listen. "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter first, say, "Peace to this house." And if anyone is there who shares in this peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. So remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you and cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your own town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest of you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Thanks be to God. Independence is highly overrated. Yeah, I know this is Independence Day weekend, but consider, America's earliest immigrant colonists were legitimately dependent upon the mother country, England. But as the colonies established themselves, they no longer needed to be dependent, victim of England's whims and demands. The mistake of England was not recognizing the time to move to interdependence, not recognizing the value of the New World as a comrade entity, not a competitive entity. So the colonies fought for independence. What we won was freedom. Freedom to create a new community independent from the mother country, but not independent from each other. We realized even then that we had to work together. We created an interweaving of states and resources, of checks and balances, of democratic governance. We put together a country that could grow eventually into an international power that is in full partner with the global community, the global economy. We realized that we needed one another. And when we added one country under God to our Pledge of Allegiance, we realized that we need God, that we are never, ever truly independent. Independence is a myth. It is too often lived out as an ego-driven sense of superiority, denying the ties with the rest of our life and with the rest of each other and with God, God's self. Independence is reactive, not responsive. And we don't want dependence, although this is the valid relationship we have with God, it too often translates as weakness. It implies being a victim or low sense of self. But interdependence, that, I think, is what God is calling us to. interdependence is not just unity or community, it is radical inclusivity. See, says John of Patmos in Revelation, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them, they will be God's people, and God's very self will be with them. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. God is among us, not just some of us, but all of us. And every time we use the idea of independence to exclude or marginalize or otherwise set aside any of God's children, we should be troubled. A new commandment I give you, said Jesus, that you should love one another, even as I have loved you. You should love one another. By this I will know, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. God is always doing a new thing, and through God we are always being called to do a new thing. As Susan told you, 2 weeks ago, our General Assembly voted the Belhar Confession into our PCUSA Constitution. This 1986 declaration by the Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa not only states that unity is both a gift and an obligation for our church, it avows that God is the God of the destitute, the poor and the wronged, and for this reason the church should stand by people in any form of suffering. It claims that individual, racial, and social segregation is sin, and that all forms of segregation and separation always lead to enmity, to hatred. Also on the podium, as this was being received, also as Susan mentioned, I saw grown men weep with joy. Weep. Including the head of the World Council of Churches and the head of the Presbyterian Church in South Africa. Our executive director of GA Mission Agency said, we believe that the Confession of Belhar, a profound statement on unity, reconciliation, and justice in this church, comes to us as a word from God for this particular time and this particular place for the PCUSA. So I think it's fitting that this historical action comes right around the time of our own celebration of the birth of our country. Another historical event based on unity, reconciliation, and justice. As we go about our business of being the church, what makes us different? How do we live into the Belhar call or into our country's call that all are created equal? How are we participating in God's new thing? Now, I know that this church, Old First, has responded through the years in many justice causes. LGBTQ equality, homelessness, feeding programs. You have known and read the great, passionate Holocaust survivor, Eli Wetzel, who died this weekend. You have heard him declare that silence encourages the tormentor. And today, after worship, especially in the light of more mass killings over the weekend, you will discuss gun control. But also this year, Old First has determined to show the U.S. government and local leaders that we are ready to welcome refugees as our neighbors. Whether it is the flood of more than 100,000 Central Americans across the U.S.-Mexico border, the unnoticed citizens run out of Bhutan by the Chinese government, or the unending stream of desperate people from the ravages of Syria, We have already signed on to the PCUSA initiative called We Choose Welcome. Already, more than 30 of us have committed to both in-kind donations and direct volunteer services with refugees. You will hear more about this, I'm sure, as the summer progresses. But know that you join with many other churches in this presbytery and around the country in this mission. This is not a new initiative from General Assembly. Remembering that Jesus came to release the oppressed and declare the year of Jubilee, our denomination supported congregational action in 2010 on comprehensive immigration reform. Today, this understanding has references a much larger context. So instead of just a person who comes to a country to take up permanent residence, the call includes the reality of refugees, people who have been forced to leave a country because of war or for religious or political reasons. We have already started living true to the Belhar call and working towards immigration reform and refugee welcome and safety. There has not been a refugee crisis this big since World War II. There are 65 million people displaced through the world. 20 million are likely to meet the UN definition of refugee. Imagine the entire population of France uprooted from their homes, forced to flee danger, persecution, or starvation, and less than 1% of these will ultimately be resettled. General Assembly has also made it clear to refugees who are already here that they indeed are welcome. I am proud of a denomination that is active for just and humane immigration and mercy, as well as for justice for people fleeing devastation and danger. To quote one source from my reading, "No one puts their children in a boat unless water is safer than land." In Leviticus, we are commanded, "When an immigrant resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the immigrant. The immigrant who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the immigrant as yourself, for you also were immigrants in the land of Egypt." Clyde Memorial Cecil Williams built on this scripture when he said, "We San Franciscos are no strangers to tremors. We live in earthquake country, but let's ask ourselves, is the ground not already shaking? Immigration, refugees, even the homeless are a man-made earthquake, a painful and destructive rift in the social contract. And addressing it requires a major effort on the part of all of us." All of us. In our gospel reading, the theme is harvest. 72 willing followers are sent on a mission relying on God's care without carrying anything else with them. They are Jesus' agents, totally and utterly representing him. They go to offer blessings and hope and healing and the love of God and the word of Christ. And the mission is successful enough for Jesus and his friends to rejoice. Even more important, they were sent out in pairs, never alone. Together they were sent out to offer and invite others. If the message was refused, then they were told to pick up and move on. This was not an exercise in punishment or even persuasion. It was an open hand and an invitation. Two by two. Two by two. So, who will you walk with? I'm serious. We are an interdependent community. Our message today is an opportunity to pick a person you don't know, or you barely know, or even one you don't really like. Pick a stranger or a younger person or an older person. Pick an unlikely companion and ask how you might work together to spread the word of inclusion and love, of peace and healing, of hope and renewal. Take the good news of the kingdom of God and carry with you this message of grace. Carry it in your hearts and in your hands. As long as the human will supersedes God's will, peace will never occur. As long as nations fight against each other without realizing the devastating effects the conflict has on the people, we will not enjoy the beauty of learning from one another. When human beings assume that some are superior to others, or allow a portion of a community to live in poverty and fear, then John's vision in Revelation will never occur on earth, and Christ's commandment cannot be fulfilled. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin said, "It is impossible to love Christ without loving others, and it is impossible to love others without moving nearer to Christ." May it be so. May it be so.